Another big thing is just trying to stay focused on growth for your business and not comparing to other businesses around you. Social media is amazing, but it also impacts you in a way where you're like, well, they're doing this, so maybe we should do this. And trying to stay focused on how to grow your business in the best way possible. It's something that you have to focus on and think about every day.
Welcome back to Influencer Business, the playground for brands and creators. I'm your host, Austin Munhofen. It is great to have you here. We hope you're well as always. And today we have a treat for you because we're sitting down with not just one, but two guests. Neely and Chloe Birch of the accessories line, Neely and Chloe, join me today to talk about their 5 years in business. Specifically, we're going to talk about the early days of building a product-based business. We'll be talking about their very successful first ever special collaboration launch with a well-known influencer and how they've found success in partnering with influencers to bring their brand to life in a different and unique way. For those unfamiliar with the brand, Neely and Chloe is the aspirational yet attainable accessories line designed with the consumer in mind. Sisters Neely and Chloe create designs that are understated and timeless, meant to be worn season after season. The silhouettes and craftsmanship of their pieces are simply stunning. But before we dig in more, I want to tell you about our season sponsor, CJ. I am super pumped and proud to partner with CJ. They are the affiliate network of choice for influencers and content creators. Whether you're looking to earn long-term residual income from your favorite brands or want more opportunities for sponsored content, CJ is it. They offer an easy-to-use, supportive solution with tools and dedicated experts that help set you up for lasting success. And I know you've heard me talk about this before, but one of the best parts about CJ is all the data you have at your fingertips, data to help you plan and optimize your content based on what's performing. And you actually have access to the same data as the brands, which leads to better decisions and even stronger partnerships. So I highly encourage you to head over to cj.com/trove to learn more. We have something so exciting to share with you. Gush and Grow, who are partners of Trove, are coming out with a course for influencers and content creators all about how to land paid brand collaborations and partnerships, how to land those with authenticity, with integrity, with confidence, and do it effectively. The thing that lights us up the most at Gush and Grow is helping our clients' dreams come true as solopreneurs. And oftentimes that includes partnering with their dream brands. So we've turned our most popular workshop into a course, making it widely available so that you can land your ideal paid brand collabs and partnerships. It is the most comprehensive course we've created for the best value. And if this is of interest to you, highly, highly encourage you to go to gushandgrow.com/courses to get on the list. But without further ado, let's welcome Neely and Chloe to the podcast. Today, we have Chloe and Neely Birch. Thank you so much for joining the Trove Influencer Business Podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here.
I'm so excited you are here because I love your brand and I think that there are many people maybe who are not familiar with it and will become familiar with it by talking with you all in this episode. So before we dig in though, because I feel like there's so much that I want to talk to you about in such a short amount of time, I always like to start with the background because I think that context is so rich for how a company gets started. And so can you all share a little bit about your background? Well, maybe even before that, because I feel like I'm so familiar with Neely and Chloe, the brand. Maybe we should start by saying, what is Neely and Chloe for those who are not familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a line of women's handbags and accessories. We actually will be celebrating our 5th anniversary in September. That's right, Chloe, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So we'll be celebrating our 5th anniversary in September. Chloe and I are sisters, for those who don't know. So we are sisters and really best friends. We grew up together. We're 1 year apart. And we grew up in a house where we talked a lot about fashion. Our dad is more tuned in than most dads to hemlines and silhouettes and all of those good things. And our parents were both in women's retail for a long time. And we put our heads together in 2015 and came up with Neely and Chloe. I had been working a mobile retail concept. So I had an Airstream trailer that was a boutique, basically. And we went up and down the East Coast and we were buying wholesale, selling retail. And Chloe was a merchant at J.Crew. I convinced her to jump ship. She's a regimented schedule girl. So convincing her to totally go out of the box and start a business was not something she was, took a little elbow grease, but we got her there and we started work in the fall of 2015 and launched the business in September of 2016.
Wow. First of all, congratulations. 5 years in business is a big milestone. Are you all doing anything to celebrate?
I don't think we've gotten there yet. We probably should, but we got to think of something fun to do.
Yeah, that would be great. So, you mentioned that your dad is dialed in more than most when it comes to fashion. He has experience. He has a background in the fashion space, correct?
Yes. So he and his brother started a company called Eagle's Eye Sweater. It was a sweater business right out of college, actually. And you can find some of the sweaters on eBay. There's something, let me tell you. It's the unironic ugly Christmas sweater. They have very cute ones, but they like used to do one with like the Morton Salt Girl on it or other things like that. But it was knit big 80s, those like sweaters your teachers used to wear with like the metal buttons on them that would have like the Halloween sweater with like the witch and the broom and the candy corn. That was sort of the vibe. But so we try very hard to keep him out of design meetings at this point because he's always wanting to put cats on things and stuff like that. But so he did that for 30 years.
That's hilarious. 30 years. And not just your dad, but your aunt also.
Yeah. So my dad's brother, Chris, they were business partners. And then my dad left the women's retail world like it was on fire. He said, I'm out. I wanted to do something very different. But Chris went back into it and he and his then wife, Tori, started Tori Birch. And I don't know what year it was, but so they were then in it for a long time. And she's been incredibly supportive and such an amazing mentor for Chloe and I to really have a first row seat to what she's built over the last 15 years has been an amazing thing to watch and definitely laid a path that we hope to follow down one day.
Yeah, that's incredible. And what great minds that you have to pick from, you know, when starting a business. So the background you mentioned going up and down the East Coast, just trying to do a little bit of consumer research, I think, like what's out there? What do people want? What are people interested in? What was the beginning like? Because I can only imagine just driving up and down the coast, how crazy and exhausting and what was going through your mind?
It was horrible. Honestly, I mean, I don't even really think of that as the beginning of Neely and Chloe because it really was a different concept. And it ended up being market research. That was not the intention was like, we wanted to take shopping, which we believe to be a social experience, especially for young women. Chloe and I both went to Washington and Lee University in Virginia, which was in the middle of nowhere. And the idea was, you know, the UPS man is coming with Shopbop packages twice a day because women are buying so much stuff. What if we were able to bring that shopping experience to these communities that didn't necessarily have access? And so we were buying wholesale, selling retail, and popping up in different locations. And when I say it rained everywhere that we went, it rained everywhere that we went. And then we were like, in the spring, we were like, great, well, let's go to Alabama. And it snowed.
Oh, no.
Alabama, it's not supposed to snow or an ice storm or something. I mean, we just got walloped. And people don't want to try on shoes in the rain outside. It's just not something people do.
Right.
We learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I think it was incredibly formative in figuring out what was out there, what we felt like we couldn't find, what price points women recoiled at and which ones they were like, oh, this is almost too cheap. Like, I'm a little nervous about buying a handbag for $24. Is that like, there must be something wrong with it. So we were interacting with customers every day, learning so much. And there was really a pivot. It was really a wind down of that and a pivot to Neely and Chloe when we were going to launch our own product and our own line.
All right. And you decided to, I think I read this somewhere, to right out of the gate to go direct to consumer.
Yes. We decided we were just going to do direct to consumer to start. Our dad, as Neely mentioned, you know, he had the clothing line and he was all about wholesale. And, you know, right when we were launching, it was, you know, very cool and sexy to be direct to consumer. You know, Warby Parker did it and all these things. And we just thought it was the right decision. And so we went forward with that. And then we realized there was actually a lot of power in wholesale. And you can really grow your business in a way that we didn't, you know, beyond just selling direct. So we did direct for about a year, a little over a year. And then we started doing trunk shows, which are a big part of our business. And we did them at stores, and stores were like, please, can we keep it? Can we keep it? And, you know, we were just stubborn and said, sorry, no, we're direct, but maybe, you know, at some point. And then we realized, why aren't we doing this? And we made it work with our margins. And now we sell to a bunch of small boutiques across the country.
That's wonderful. So what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced in the beginning, those early days?
So many. Oh my gosh. Neely, what do you think some of the biggest were?
Well, I mean, I think one of the first things for us, I mean, inventory management generally is so challenging and so overwhelming and can really sink your ship if you're not careful. Chloe and I happened upon our first purchase order the other day and we were like, oh, we were drunk when we did this. Like, this is crazy. I can't believe the numbers that are on here. And we weren't. We just, it was very zealous and it was big. And I think, you know, and this is something our brother actually has a business, something I was talking to him about the other day, learning to take advice and realizing that the advice that it's where it's coming from, there's such a perspective that that person has, and you have to like find a way to almost work their advice out of their background and then find the right way to apply it to you. So we had talked a lot with our dad at that point. We were working very closely with him and he would say stuff like, well, if you can't sell 250 black handbags, like you've got a really big problem. And we're like, okay, so we should order 250 of that one black handbag. And like that is a lot of one single SKU. We're very lucky in that much of the inventory that we ordered was sort of evergreen and became part of the Neely and Chloe core offering. And we were able to work it down over time. But that was definitely something that could have been a much bigger problem if we hadn't managed it the way we did. That to me, I think, was our biggest challenge. I don't know, Chloe, if you feel like...
Inventory management, I mean, it still remains
not
to
a
be...
sexy problem.
It still remains to be a challenge because it's a problem when you have too much inventory and it's a problem when you don't order enough inventory. So kind of finding that balance, I think, is really challenging. And I think starting your own business, another big thing is just trying to stay focused on, you know, growth for your business and not comparing to other businesses around you. And I think social media is amazing, but it's also impacts you in a way where you're like, well, they're doing this, so maybe we should do this. And I think trying to stay focused on how to grow your business in the best way possible rather than focus on what other people are doing is hard. I think it's something that you have to focus on and think about every day. And so that was, I think, a challenge in the beginning. And a lot of these challenges that started, you still have them and still have to work through them even as you grow.
I think that's a really good point that the challenges you face in the beginning don't necessarily go away. You just probably learn how to navigate them a little bit better. I want to kind of go back to all the advice that you were probably being given, because there are a lot of awesome people that you had access to in terms of they have experience in this world and they could give you all their advice, but I'm sure it wasn't always the same and it was differing, and having to like filter that through to a new brand that you were trying to establish was probably a little bit difficult.
Completely. I mean, it's so relevant. It was the exact, I'm just having this conversation with my brother the other day, and it's really hard to remember, like, first of all, it was 2016. So we were 24 and 25. So you're really young. And I think we have friends now, we have a lot of friends now that are starting to start businesses. And like, it feels like there's this sort of like collective group of people who are our age, who are, who are developing expertise in their field and who like have their act together and can really help. And whether that's us being like, we can lend advice because we've been entrepreneurs, or whether it's somebody that's in the marketing world who like really understands it and knows that it can help there or whatever it may be. But when we were 24 and 25, everybody was sort of like very entry level, really learning. So all of our advice was sort of coming from people that were more our parents' age. We didn't have a great network of 30 somethings who were establishing Kelp. So you got all of this extremely high level advice, this stuff that's like big picture looking down and trying to figure out how to take those nuggets and like be like, oh, I mean, you run a really big business. Like we're just like a teeny little something. Like we have to try to like figure out how to distill what you're saying from like your high level position at Lilly Pulitzer and like take it over here and make it Neely and Chloe, or your high level position at Anthropology or whatever it is. Like it's a different context. And then, I mean, people just like have different ways they believe things were successful. So trying to find your version of that is always something that takes a lot of thought and time.
Yeah. And it's probably not a linear path. It's probably a pretty winding path too, to find out what success looks like for you and how to get there.
Totally. And I think if you're not careful, I mean, and I think some of the best advice we got was just to stay focused on our customer and who she is and what she's looking for, and realizing that there's a lot of distractions along the way. But if you're too distracted by the advice and you can't find a way to kind of pick and choose the components that like really work for you and for your brand, I think you end up sort of ping-ponging all over the place. And then it can be very palpable to the customer more quickly, I think, than you would realize. So like staying focused and staying on that path and finding the ways to integrate it subtly over time is sort of always our goal.
I think focus is a really good piece of advice, because you kind of, you want to be in tune with what others are doing and what people are responding to, but you don't want to let that so influence you down a path that doesn't feel genuine to your brand. And that's so easy to do on social media, to compare your starting point to someone else's middle or to someone else's end. And if you're not careful about it, it could probably take you down a really wrong path. I want to talk about your customer, because I love the idea and the picture that you paint with on your website of your customer, that girl who, and I'm probably not going to be describing it as well as you will in a moment, but that girl who wants to reach for a handbag that's timeless, that's high quality, but that she can actually afford. That's not going to be the four-figure bag that breaks the bank. And your stuff is so high quality, and the silhouettes, and it's just clean, and the attention to detail, and you have some hand-painted items and some gold foil. And it's, talk about your, I guess what I'm saying is that it seems like you really know your customer. And so I would love for you to describe your customer to us.
Yeah, I think it's been amazing to sort of watch the evolution of the customer and who we thought she was when we launched and what it's become. And it actually didn't take that long to get there. It's been pretty consistent over the last 4 years, I would say. But we came out of the gate fully convinced our consumer was early 20s to like a late 30s. And she's there. She's a total part of who it is. And it was us, right? We were in New York. I was working in the art world when I first got going, and Chloe was in fashion. You get paid no money. You're trying to figure out how to have an apartment with your friends and go out for the dinners and do all this stuff. And it's impossible. And then on top of it, you want to shop or you want to buy stuff, and you're like, well, this is one of my paycheck. Like, this is a full paycheck. This is two paychecks. How could I possibly do this? And it just didn't feel to us like that made sense. We wanted to create something that was aspirational, but that felt specific to you. And I think that was really the crux of things, is how do you create something that like, you're not thinking you're going to go to Thanksgiving and like your kooky aunt is also going to be carrying the same bag as you. And so that was really where the personalization came into play. We wanted to basically take these timeless silhouettes and these things that you could use year after year, season after season, and allow the consumers to put the finishing touches on them, to make it yours. I always loved the idea. We still haven't done this, but my goal is to work it into my, I love the idea of a bag being almost like an art edition, like a print, where it says like one out of 203 that were made, and it's stamped on there, and you know that's yours, and it almost like has a certificate. But this idea that it like really is yours when you take it. And that, I think, is something our customers really responded to. And I think what has been fun to see that evolution is that our customer base is so much broader than we expected it to be. So we really thought it was going to be that little group of women. And it's been so fun to see how multi-generational it is, and how we have moms that come in and are buying, you know, for themselves, and they're also buying for their daughters or for their daughter-in-law or whoever it is. And to see the way the product can appeal to so many, but still remain feeling so personal has been so much fun for us.
I think that's the timeless quality of it, right? I think that's what makes it so versatile in terms of resonating with different age groups.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and it's just the way that, and by the way, like there have been missteps. Like we have tried personalization methods that didn't work and didn't come to fruition. We've learned that teaching consumer new habits and behaviors is really, really difficult. So, you know, we have a couple different methods of customization, and one of them is these brass ornaments that you can put on the bag. And it's not something that anyone else does. And they're incredibly cool and incredibly fun, but like, because no one else does it, we're responsible for all of the educating of the customers on how it works and how to explain it to them. And like, that's really hard. We still do that. There are other ones that have fallen to the wayside, but finding that balance and figuring out what people love and what they react to and what they will carry time and time again has been really interesting. And I think we'll probably can talk about it, but the last year has really given us an opportunity to take a step back and figure out what we're really good at and what we're not. It's been a really interesting year to be in retail. We realize that creating new for the sake of creating new is like, it's not something that we're good at. We don't need to reinvent a bag silhouette just because a wholesale client tells you they need something new for you next season. Like, our customers come back time and time again to these silhouettes we love. So we're going to keep making them in new fabrications and new patterns and new things. And if it works, it works. So, you know.
I'm glad you said that, because if you ever got rid of the lady bag, that would kill me. I feel like the lady bag, when I think of my grandmother when I was younger saying the word pocketbook, that is exactly the pocketbook she was saying in my head.
Yes. Yes. The lady bag is definitely, the mini lady bag is definitely our best-selling item. We love that bag. We always will carry it in our core colors, black, white, navy, and our Amelia and Chloe blue. And this season with our Julia Brolsheimer collaboration was the first time we did it in a print, and people loved it. And it was super successful. And it was really fun to see how people reacted to our best-selling styles, but in a fun, unique novelty print.
Oh, yes. So, let's talk about that collaboration. The collaboration that in my mind, I say the collab that broke the internet. And I know you probably cringe a little bit because it was so popular, it took the site down, because I was one of the folks trying to purchase the day that it launched. And I mean, like, things happen. When you have a big launch like that, it's going to be nerve-wracking and overwhelming, and I can't imagine what you all were feeling that day. And I was kind of the mind that, wow, this is great. It was so successful that they needed to up the traffic or something. But talk about, for those who are not familiar, the collab. How did you think of that? How did that come about?
So we had been connected with Julia over Instagram over the years. We'd always been a fan of hers. We had sent her some product and she featured it. And when she had Gal Meets Glam, her dress line, they shot a lot of their photo shoots with the Neely and Chloe product. And we noticed it and we were like so flattered and this is amazing. And, you know, I wonder if she'd ever want to do a collaboration with us. It would be amazing. And we had reached out to ask, and it was kind of ongoing conversations for, Millie, what do you think, a year we talked to them?
I think the first time we visited was a year before we circled back and decided to move forward with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a really ongoing conversation, and Julia is amazing, but really I think is specific about who she works with and how she, you know, wants to present herself with certain brands. And so I think, you know, she thought a lot about it, and we circled back and decided to move forward. And it was a very collaborative process. It was amazing. She is incredible to work with, super genuine and nice and hardworking. And we worked together. Her and someone on her team came up with the prints, and we worked to kind of select the silhouettes together. And then Neely and I took on the manufacturing process and production process.
And I think, you know, I think what's fun, so this sort of pivot to these collaborations, it's been a ton of fun for us because Chloe and I have always been a little intimidated by prints, I think. We're like, if you look in our closets, like, we're solid as girls. This, I'm wearing a striped shirt today. Like, this is where we go, right?
That's as crazy as it gets.
Okay. So it's not something that comes supernaturally to us, but in the same way that the bags provide such a like universally appealing silhouette as a jumping off point for customers to sort of put their touch on, we found also on the larger scale, a larger level, we have these amazing silhouettes that exist, and the quality is there, and the shape is there, and people love it. And if we combine our forces with these other creatives, these other women in our industry, and we can create this really special product that has this intangible quality of want to it, it's something really special. And so Julia was really our first foray into that. And I think we're both very pleased to say that we've got, I don't know, now at this point, 7 over the next year and a half.
More. Yeah, so we have 2 more launching this year. And then I think we have 5 slated for 2022.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm we're very so excited. Yeah.
Yes, I'm very interested to see who will be the influencers collabing with you. Yeah.
Well, our next one I think we can talk about is right
yes.
now.
Yeah.
Our next one is launching in July, and it's with the interior designer Ariel Oaken.
Yes. Oh, perfect. I can see it 100%.
So she's been so fun. We got connected again. It was like sort of a long building timeline. It's going to launch in July, and it's going to be different shapes and different new, like, existing Neely and Chloe silhouettes. But it's going to be really fun and great for the summer, and we're so looking forward to it. And then, yeah, we just got some samples in for one that I think we have to keep under wraps for now. That's coming this fall, but it's so good.
It's so good.
Oh man. And I think that working with influencers who are also other creatives yeah. has to provide this energy boost when it comes to, you know, your company and doing new exciting things, because you're playing on the timeless piece, but you're bringing in and inviting their creativity to create something totally new. And I can only imagine how exhilarating that process is.
It's really fun. I mean, I think for us too, there's a component of it where you put on new goggles, new lenses to look at your product. And I mean, the printed leather component with the Julia Burlesheimer collaboration on the mini lady bags, I mean, people just flipped. And, you know, I think even for us, we would have been like, printed leather. Like, that feels like weird too. We can't, that's a little nerve wracking. I don't know if we can go there. And it was amazing. And to see the bag through these new lenses, the different ideas and the way people approach it, has been so fun.
Yeah.
And it's such a fun process as well, because we get to focus on what we're really good at and they get to focus on what they're really good at. And the combination of those two things is really amazing. So with Julia and with these other people that we're working with, you know, they're amazing marketers and influencers, and can really help us sell the product. And we have reach a whole new customer base. They love it so much because they put their time and energy into it as well. And then we get to make it, which we're good at. And so it's a really fun process because we're both focusing on, you know, our good, you know, what we're best at. And then we can promote it together, which everyone wants to put energy behind. And it's really, really fun.
And I actually think what's interesting, if for those that are out there that are listening that are interested in the more business side of things, I think for us, and it ties back nicely into our sort of decision to move away exclusively from direct to consumer, we're a little bit skeptical of the autopiloting into digital ad spend to acquire customers. And we are not drinking the Kool-Aid there quite as much as we feel like some of maybe our some other brands out there are. And it seems to work for people. And it's amazing. We've just never felt like it generated the same kind of loyal consumer base as we've been able to do elsewhere. So at one point, we viewed our wholesale partners as a great way to do that, right? Get the product in front of people. You work together. You work in tandem. Somebody buys it and you open a store in Birmingham or a wholesale account in Birmingham. She takes it around. She shows her friends. And then all of a sudden, all of her friends are on your website. And we saw that happen. That was very real for us. It's been very additive to our business, this omni-channel approach. And we viewed this, I think, very similarly. We could go out and we could develop patterns, like for better, we could do it ourselves and sure we could make them. But then we have to figure out how to get customers excited about them and to get new exposure and to bring in new people. And I think what's so fun about this and what we're doing is we are aligning with influencers or marketers or retailers that are similarly minded to us. We have an organic relationship and connection that feels like a fit. And then you take their user base, and similar to what we were talking about today, customers who may not have ever heard of Mealy and Chloe, and all of a sudden you're totally cross-pollinating and you're taking these two, you know, I mean, sure, there's a little bit of overlap, but somewhat independent groups of people and saying, wait, I found this thing that I love, which you follow me. So inherently you must like what I like. And like, I'm going to open this new brand to you. And it brings a whole new base of consumers over to us, which is so exciting and so fun and invigorating for the business as a whole.
Oh, definitely. Something that maybe your dad's sweaters could have benefited from way back when.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, and this is, I think, a really smart move. And more brands I see are doing this, working with and partnering with influencers to create a unique line, a unique collaboration. What advice would you give to those product-based businesses out there who are thinking about doing this with influencers?
It's a great question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I think you work together a lot. I would make sure that you both the brand and the influencers are really on the same page about what you're trying to get out of this collaboration and what the end goal is and how you guys want to promote it, how you want to market it, how you want to sell it, because I think it's super collaborative.
The finished product is better when it's collaborative, right? So I think making sure you're excited to be working together and you're not doing it so that you can, I think back to that idea that like, it feels like a natural fit. Like when we look at the evolution with Julia, it made so much sense because as Chloe mentioned, they've been using the bags in their photo shoots and she loved them personally. So it didn't feel contrived.
Yeah. And I think it's easy to work with influencers and just, you know, if they're willing to take your product and, you know, come up with a payment amount or something, it's super easy to just be like, sure, take our product and we'll do this and I'll promote it. But I think making sure the fit is there is really important because their customers and people who follow them are then going to be interested in your brand. And if it's not the right fit, then I don't think you're going to see the return that you want. And obviously the goal is for everyone to be super successful. And so I think making sure you're just all on the same page and get along and could be friends, you know, even without the business relationship it's important.
I think that's really great advice. And fit becomes so much more important when you're working on something like a product that you're releasing together versus if you are paying an influencer to promote your bag for a sponsored, you know, in feed something or other, that the risk there is a lot lower. So the fit still needs to be good, but it's at a totally different level when you're collaborating with someone on a product that has all of this momentum and energy behind it.
Well, I also think as like a back to the more minutia of things, it's really important to have the contract in place and to have discussed all of this stuff. It feels cumbersome in the beginning when you're like all excited about this creative partnership and all of the fun components, but just to be on the same page so that you don't get into the 11th hour and you're like, I'm so disappointed by the marketing, how it's being promoted, or to have them be like, I'm really disappointed in the sampling. And like, I thought we would be able to do something else. You know, you just want to make sure you're really transparent from the get-go on both sides and that everybody is looking for the same outcome, I think, as Chloe mentioned.
Totally. That's a really good point. You have to talk about the even not so fun stuff just to make sure that your expectations are aligned because that's really important. So Before we get to our fast questions, I want to ask you another advice question, which is, would you all have done anything differently? Like, think about 5 years ago, kind of just starting out. What advice would you give to your younger selves?
Oh my God. I would have done a lot differently, I think. go ahead, Neelan.
You know, it's hard, I feel like, for me to know whether or not this is good advice, because I'm not sure we would have, you know, we talk all the time about appreciating what you have. It's very hard to appreciate it if you haven't been through something else, right? So we are a much scrappier business now than we were when we started. And I love that about us. It's like one of my favorite things. We are like, okay, we get a proposal for something and we're like, that's so nice that you think it should cost that much money. We're going to totally find a way to pull these different pieces together and find a way to make it happen and be leaner and smarter. But that's not how we were our first year. And I think a lot of that came from, like, you're doing a startup brand in New York. Like, this is what's sexy and this is what's chic and this is what startup brands do. And it's hard not to have those stars in your eyes. And I think, for instance, photo shoots are a really good example. So like our first photo shoot was like the whole thing. We had the stylist and the makeup artist and the clothes. And now we do photo shoots and it's like, I've got these clothes. We'll pin them. They're obviously going to be three sizes too big on our friend that's modeling, but like we'll pin them back behind. And it's a much scrappier dynamic. And I think what's been amazing about it is doing all that stuff ourselves and like getting all into the weeds on everything has created a brand and an ethos that feels so much more us and has created such a stronger identity. So my advice would be to really dig into all of the things that you think you're supposed to be doing and decide whether or not that's right and be scrappier and be smarter. But that being said, if we hadn't had that first year where we came out of it being like, we can do this better, we can do this smarter, I don't know if I'd appreciate how much we are that way now.
Yeah, definitely. Probably my biggest piece of advice is just try to remain flexible, because things normally don't go the way that you think they're going to. You pretty much always need a plan B and you always end up using your plan B. And I am not good at being flexible. I'll be very honest. I like a plan and I want it to go that way. And I get really thrown off when the plan doesn't go the way I want it to. But that's a startup and that's the way it goes. And I think, you know, having a business partner and someone you can lean on when things like that happen is really, really helpful. So we're very lucky in the fact that we have each other and we can, when stressful situations come up, we can lean on one another. And if you are someone starting a company on your own, I think even trying to find, you know, a friend or a parent or an outlet to when things are stressful and you have to be flexible and just talk through things with them is a super, super important.
I'm so curious. You all are business partners and your sisters. How, so many questions I have, but.
We were living together too for a long time.
You lived together too for a long time.
While we were running the business. So we were business partners, sisters, and living together in New York for 4 years, mm-hmm. 3 years.
So how do you all maintain the sisterhood, the strong sisterhood, and the strong business partner relationship?
So I think what's very helpful is we're very different personality-wise. So I think we play off of one another very well. So things that stress me out don't stress Neely out, and vice versa. Neely's good at certain things, I'm good at other things. So in the business aspect, we balance each other out, I think, very, very well. And from the sister and friend aspect, it just works. I mean, we grew up being together all the time. We went just K through 12 together. We went to college together, lived in New York together. And, you know, we're always best friends and we have a very similar friend group. And so we know how to kind of shut off that business aspect when we are in the, you know, sister mode or friend mode.
I also think, I mean, it's a totally a nurture thing, but we are a combative bunch, our family. So like, there's no like passive aggressive, I'm annoyed at you and I exhale. It's like, what's your problem? We end up in a screaming fight. And then like 6 minutes later, we're like, okay, well, we have to move on because like we have a meeting and we have to do this or do that. So I think the fact that the way we handle emotions is on our sleeve has actually made it all a little bit easier, because like we will get in a fight and then we, you know, kiss and make up and I love you, no, I love you, and move on.
Yeah.
And it's helpful.
And then business, back to business.
Yeah. Exactly.
Kind of thing. Wow. That's really special. And I'm sure people tell you this all the time, because there are many businesses out there where there are families working together, and I can't imagine that it's always like this, that you figure it out and you navigate it and it comes naturally to you. But I think you all are very close in age too. So yeah. It makes sense when you said we have been in the same thing together for a long time. Like that makes sense to me.
Yeah. We're 1 year apart, almost exactly 13 months. And we're not twins, but I would say we function about as close to twins function without actually being them. I mean, we're very, very close. I mean, we're best friends in our social lives as well too. So it's been lovely to have. And
yeah, that's very
we
special.
Haven't messed it up yet.
Yeah. So. Stay tuned.
All right. Let's get into questions that I ask everybody. All right. Three questions and then rapid fire. So the three questions here. One, favorite food or meal to cook or eat?
Just like an amazing baguette with butter for me. Just bread. That's it. Always. It's all I want.
Probably sushi or a bagel with cream cheese.
Sushi or a bagel. Bagel yeah. with cream cheese. That's very New York. That's a good New York answer, right?
Oh, yeah. A good New York bagel. Yeah. There's nothing like it.
Awesome. Dream partnership.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe you've already had it. I don't know.
Julia was definitely a dream.
We pinched ourselves when we just kept being like, is this really happening? It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing and it went so, I mean, aside from our technical hiccups, it went so well. Yeah, that was incredible. I think we have a really long, long list that I hesitate to share because one dream came true. I hope they all can.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see who the next ones are over, what the seven ones over the next couple of years are.
Yeah, I know. We're excited.
Okay, what are you most excited about in this industry or the future of Neely and Chloe?
I think how, we love transparency and just like being honest with customers. And I think in the blogger industry and in the fashion industry, I think one of the reasons we've built a really strong connection with our customers is like we like to get on our Instagram and be like, this is what I actually look like. Like I don't blow dry my hair every day. We're very honest. We're very open about like when things are, there's full of chaos. And it's been really fun to see the industry sort of get realer. I think, I feel like there was a period there where and it's still there. And I totally get it. It has to be aspirational. It has to be something people want to see and want to emulate in their own lives. But to see people like starting to get more genuine and honest and open with people, and to watch the way people really react to that and connect with it has been really fun to watch and be part of. It feels to me like something we were early on, and it feels like everybody else is like starting to do more of that, which is, I think, just such a great thing for women generally, that the conversation is less about like, oh, it should be perfect, and more about like, this is real. And like, it's stressful and it's hard. And we want to talk about it being hard, not about like it being this like amazing ride. That's like, oh my God, the pieces aligned.
Like, effortless. Like,
oh, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. So
I think that for me has been really lovely to watch.
Yeah. And I think another, you know, to go along with that, seeing our customers know Neely and I better. I mean, it's exciting when we do kind of more, you know, typical blogger type days on our Instagram story and show what we're doing, people are really interested. And I think that's how we create this connection with our consumer. And the more and more we do it, and the bigger that we grow, we get more customers to kind of get to know us. And that's why we named it Neely and Chloe and why we want our customers to connect with us. So I think excited to see that and with these partnerships that we have, see how we can grow that and expand more.
By the way, excited and also incredibly intimidated by it.
It's hard.
Bloggers out there, we give you so much credit because we're horrible at it. And our poor team member who manages is like, guys, you told me you'd do it today. You have to get on the Instagram. And so we're always open to any advice or guidance because we're really just learning on the job and trying to figure it out.
That's great that you're very aware of that. And creating content, you're right. Creating content is hard. So hard. And I will say I like that you're showing more behind the scenes about you all because people buy from people. You know, people buy stories, but they also buy from people and they want to know the people behind the product, behind the story. So I think that's great you're doing that. Almost out of time. Rapid fire. Favorite smell?
I like a fire in the winter.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Flowers probably, just like in the summer.
Nice. Okay. Most used app on your phone?
I probably don't want to admit it, but it's probably Instagram.
Yeah, I was going to pick it up to look. I would say Instagram or we use a lot of Slack. We're big Slack users.
Slack is great. Mm-hmm. Last Google search.
The weather. Oh. It was raining here, so I wanted to see when it would stop.
I'm picking out wines for my wedding celebration this fall, so I've been doing a lot of Googling about different French wines.
Lovely. All right. One accomplishment you're proud of from the last 2 months?
I know we keep going back to this, but probably our relaunch with Julia, I think I'm most proud of. You know, it was the second time buying inventory and we sold to it very, very quickly. And I think I'm very, very excited and proud that that happened.
My husband and I just bought a house. And so I think I feel like we left New York a year ago being like, how are we ever going to do this? And in this housing market, I know it's not professional, but it's an accomplishment to get your hands on anything. So we're super excited.
Congratulations. Yes, that is something. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, for talking with me, for being real and open. And I'm sure our listeners, whether they're influencers or brands, got a lot out of listening to you all and your journey and how you think. And can I just say that after talking with you, I want to buy even more Neely and Chloe stuff.
Yay.
So I'll probably be hitting up the website right after this to figure out what's next.
Great. Oh my God. We love to hear that. And thank you so much for having us. It was really fun.
You're welcome. It was such a pleasure to chat with Chloe and Neely from Neely and Chloe. And three things that stood out to me. One is that the challenges you face in a business, even 5 years after its genesis, can be exactly the same challenges you face in the beginning. You're just better equipped to handle them. And I think that's a really good reminder for both influencers out there who are starting their own brands and also product-based businesses. The second thing that resonated with me is just how in sync you have to be as a brand with an influencer if you're partnering with them on a product launch. It is definitely a more intimate process. The brand name is intertwined with the influencer in just a much more significant way than a social campaign activation. And the third thing that resonated with me is how an influencer can bring their own creativity and creative spin to a capsule collection or product launch, really taking your product and looking at it through their lens to provide a unique spin that really taps into maybe an untapped audience and ultimately provide lift for your brand. That was really interesting to hear. So thank you again to Chloe and Neely for such a wonderful conversation and a transparent conversation. Super appreciate it. And as always, we want to give a big shout out to Pete Crimi and the team over at Sound Lounge who make us sound better than we are. So we hope you like what you heard. If you did, it is in part to Pete and the team at Sound Lounge. Please drop us a 5-star rating, tap those 5 stars and leave a glowing review. We would so appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on Influencer Business.